Good morning, Sunrise. It's good to see you today. We are so glad that you found us, and we're kind of celebrating because this is our last video service that we are offering. And so that's great news. That's great news. I know we will not really miss this aspect, and I'm excited for next week, June 7th, when we will be back together here at the building. So that is wonderful news. Church, here's what we need to know, and here's what we need to remember and keep in mind. Yes, we're going to have some things that we need to adhere to while we are here in this first phase of getting back together. This is important. And I know that for some of us were like, it's ridiculous. I shouldn't have to do these things. I feel like a child being told what I can and cannot do. Some of us are going to look around and going to be a little nervous because people aren't doing what we feel they should be doing. We need to respect and love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We also need to respect those who will visit us at Sunrise in these coming weeks. There will be, when we post our expectations on the front door, there's an expectation that we'll actually do those things. So church, we need to police ourselves and do these things correctly. So some of the big ones, they'll be posted outside, they'll be posted on the building. 10:30 and 2:30. Those are the Sunday services. If there is somebody in your family 55 or up, you're at the 10:30, okay? If everybody's under 55, come to the 2:30. We will have those two worship times. We will be calling and getting some volunteers, and we're going to have a few people help us with the worship, so gentlemen, be ready for that. And then we're going to have the hand sanitizers available. We're going to have someone holding the door open, but we do need to keep our 6 feet distance for now, okay? This is just the first phase of getting things back to where we want. But we do need to keep our distance. You sit with your family, but you put a little space between you and the other family. We're not shaking hands and we're not hugging right now, okay? So we need a social distance while we're here in the auditorium. Also, we're going to have the hallway and the kitchen blocked off with the extra chairs that we've got to get out of here. So basically, it is auditorium and restrooms. That's it. That's all we're using. And we also need to stay out of the building in between services because we're going to be cleaning and disinfecting everything in between. So that's what that needs to look like. Everybody's going to come in the front door. We're going to have somebody hold it open so you don't have to touch that. You're just going to go in and out the front door. Masks are optional, all right? We are not going to make you wear a mask. If you feel like you need to wear a mask or you want to wear a mask, but that makes you feel better about it, wear your mask. But you need to understand there's going to be some people here not wearing a mask. I'm not going to be wearing a mask next Sunday. And so if that is still out of your comfort level and you can't handle that, you may need to give it a few more weeks before you're back with us. Also, if you're sick, stay home. Okay? That's very important. And I know we're just like, it's just a this or it's just a that. No, if it's sick, stay home. That will go a long way. Also, our fellowship needs to be done in the parking lot. All right? That first service is at 10:30. If you get here a little bit early, catch up in the parking lot. Before we all come in here and we're seated in the auditorium, that's when we need to talk to each other and catch up with each other. Also, we'll have to kind of dismiss by rows to get everybody back out of the building. Once you get back out to the parking lot, put a car hood in between you and your brother or sister and talk and catch up and love, all right? This is not new normal. We are not doing that, okay? But this is the first step of us getting back together. In church, it's going to be so important that we all actually do these things, all right? So please, we beg you, let's keep these things in mind and let's love one another and respect one another enough that we can give everybody that expectation. If they come into Sunrise, this is what they're going to get. Okay? All right, for our prayers this week, we need to keep Rex in our prayers. He's still going through his treatments, and we need the Lord to heal him and to touch him and to work in his body so that he can get good enough to have that surgery and for it to be successful. We need to lift up Lewis. He is scheduled to have surgery on Tuesday of this week, so please lift him up, and he's having surgery on his back, so please continue to lift him up, and then also continue to lift up Anna's granddaughter, and she had that car accident, and she's in pretty bad shape, so please remember those three in your prayers, and church, I will ask you this week, this is the last week before we come back together, I pray. us has a heart that's ready to come back. All right. I know we're all excited. I know we're just, yes, let's get back. But coming back together, it's going to take a lot of grace. And it's going to take a lot of patience with each other. And so let's keep that in our prayers this week. That as we come back, the next Sunday will be a holy, wonderful celebration and time of worship. And just an awesome time of fellowship. So let's keep that in our prayers this week. All right. I think that's all for the... I think that's all for the announcements. Also, we'll post on the outside, and we will also put online this week. Kind of here's the guidelines of what you can expect. We will have the individual Lord's Supper. We're not going to pass that out. So we'll have that for you and your family, and we'll get all those. We'll get everything posted up for you. Next Sunday we will still have audio, but it won't be available until the second service. So the audio of the first service, we're going to record it on the first service. It will be the whole service, so you'll have the singing and everything, but it won't be video. It'll be audio like we did before all of the quarantine. So that will be available in the afternoon. So if you're not able to join us, if you're sick, or you're still not ready to come back with us, or if you're compromised, if you need to stay home, then you will find that around that 2:30 to 3 o'clock time. It will be the early service, but it will have Lord's Supper, songs, everything. So I guess that's the last one. And I did want to say thank you to Ben. Ben's been with me here just to help us get all this done. I really appreciate his work and his service for just allowing us to get this to you. So I appreciate his work in that. All right, church, let's go to our Father together in prayer, and we'll get to work. Our Father in heaven, we love you. We love you so much, and we are so very grateful for your love and your mercy, your blessings, your care, the grace that you have shown us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, we praise your name, and we are so excited for next week. Father, my spirit within me is leaping because I am so ready to be able to sing with my brothers and sisters in Christ and to see Jesus in their faces again. And I pray, Father, that you watch over our time together. I pray that it is good, that it is a blessing, that it is not for division, not for strife, not for opportunity, for any sin. But I just pray, Father, that our time together will once again be a time of praising you, of putting you in your seat of honor, and just allowing us to love and to share. And Father, I just pray that as it looks different here in the next few weeks, I just pray that that we will love one another, respect one another enough to do what we need to do, and just to look out for each other, to put others' needs above our own. Father in heaven, we lift up Rex, and we just pray that you work in his body for good. We are grateful for the strength that you have provided him, and we just pray that you bring healing, and that you just get him good enough to get the surgery that he needs. Continue to work in his body. And we ask, Father, we lift up Lewis, and we pray that he will be able to get the surgery that he is scheduled to receive on Tuesday, and we pray that that is good. We pray that you will bring healing and recovery to his body. And Father, we lift up Anna's granddaughter, and we just pray, Lord, that you comfort, that you heal, that you be there for her and their family, and that good will come about all of this in her life. Heavenly Father, we know that you're always with us, and we know that you know what's going on around the country right now. We pray for peace. We pray for peace because it is a difficult time. It is a violent time. It's a scary time. This year here on earth has been a challenge. And it just seems like wave after wave of difficulty. So, Father, we just ask your love and your blessings to be upon those that are out this evening. And I just pray, Lord, that you work in their hearts to heal and not destroy. I pray, Lord, that you will make all of us, your children, instruments of peace. I pray, Father, that we will keep your purposes above our own. That we will not live live selfishly, but that we will live sacrificially. Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Because on our own, left to our own devices, we are not as faithful, we know, as we should be. And forgive us of our sins, forgive us of our shortcomings, forgive us of those areas of our lives that cannot look like Jesus right now. And we pray that you grant us your Holy Spirit. We pray that we will continue to grow, to move forward, and become more like him in everything. Father, we know that we are not yet complete, that we are not perfect examples of Jesus. But we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you that we can approach your throne to receive mercy. We are so grateful and we praise you that we get to come close to you because of what Jesus has done for us on Calvary. Blessed be your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, open your Bible to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. So we made the announcement, and you know we are 1 week away from meeting together and from worshiping together, and we are on the next to the last Psalm of Ascent. All of these songs that we've been studying through and looking through, all of these songs that basically God's people sang together as they were coming together to these religious holidays, these times of year when they would gather with their friends and their family and make that long, strenuous journey to Jerusalem to worship and to offer sacrifice. And, this is definitely a gift from God. Because we started this before we've been separated. And while we've been separated, we have been studying and singing these songs in preparation for coming back together into his presence to worship. And next week's the big hoorah! And I'm excited that it just worked out for June 7th for us to get to Psalm 134. Psalm 133. This is the last preparation. This is a song of preparation. And, you know, church, you and I are going to have to, we're going to have to readjust, right? For some of us, that means we're going to actually have to worship in clothes and not pajamas next week. But it's going to be different. It's going to be different because some of us have been, you know, just huddled around the couch in our pajamas and comfy clothes, and now we're going to get back and see each other, so that's going to be different. Some of us are going to have to put away our nerves. Some of us are going to have to trust that it's going to be okay. It is going to be okay that you are with us, that we do not need to fear, that we are taking certain precautions just to protect the health of our members and our visitors, but you're with us. You're with us, and so it's going to be okay. As we're coming together, we're going to socialize once again. And for some of us, you know, we've just been kind of cooped up. We're going to get used to being around people again, right? I know that you've noticed as we have been, some people are very quiet. You know, as you get out in public and you go shopping, people just are kind of quiet and doing their own thing. Some people are just kind of bursting at the seams. They, you know, and it's just different personalities react differently. And so as we come together to socialize, it's going to be a little awkward. It's going to be a little awkward, and so we're going to be reminded very quickly how much we need one another. And that's the wonderful thing about Psalm 133. The last psalm, really, that they sing, walking up the road, walking up the path, making their way to Jerusalem, and they are reminded that they are coming to worship God, but at the same time, they are coming to see their brothers and sisters. They are coming to see their spiritual family. And so Psalm 133 prepares Israel for this. Let's read this together. This is a short one. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head running down the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life evermore. Now, it is a short song. It is a short song, but it is so powerful. We're going to take a look at its power here this morning. It does basically three things. The first thing that it does is this song declares the goodness of us being together. It says that we are going to cry, that this is a blessing and a good thing that we actually get to be together. And what an awesome message for you and I here today to prepare for next Sunday. It is a good thing to be together. It is a blessing to be allowed to be together, to join together, to worship God as one. The same thing that this song does, it offers two analogies. We're going to take a look at them. The oil on Aaron's beard and the dew of Hermon. And so it gives us these two analogies. And then finally, it lets us know that God's eternal blessings are given to his children in community. That's where God's blessings show up. And so we're going to take a look at those. All right. Let's unpack this a little bit to get power. Number one, our lives in the church are not an option. Okay? We're coming back from isolation, and I know some of us are like, you know what, I'm kind of digging this church at home thing. I kind of like this, you know, I'm just worshiping with my family, and it's become comfortable, it's become normal, I've gotten used to it. But our lives are not meant to be lived in isolation. Our salvation is not meant to be celebrated in isolation. Our lives in the church are not an option. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus made this very clear. You probably talk to people and say, man, I love Jesus, but I'm not a big fan of this church. I love God, but yeah, I don't like his people because they're all hypocrites. Or I've been hurt, or I've been injured, or I've been insulted, or I've been treated wrong. You sure have. We've all experienced pain. You've had people that said something to you that hurt your feelings. I've had people say things to me that hurt my feelings. Okay, that's an opportunity for me to extend grace, mercy, forgiveness, and move on. Or it's an opportunity for me to be selfish, allow my ego to be injured, and just put the focus on me. But church, the focus is not on me. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is asked, all right, Jesus, what's the most important thing? You know this. You know this teaching. But let's go look at an important aspect of it. I'll turn over there real quick. Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 34. Teacher, what's the most important rule? What's the main thing? He says, well, you know the main thing. The main thing is you love God. You love God. Let's find it in Matthew 22:37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's the great and first commandment. Now, it is so tempting for us to just stop right there and say, you bet I love God. You bet I love God. There is nothing that would get in the way of me loving God. I trust him. Highs, lows, goods, bads, I love God. And whether my life has been disappointing or it's been painful, whatever, I'm never going to stop loving God. And so, I'm good. And Jesus does this wonderful, powerful thing right there in that next verse. Before he allows us to walk away feeling that we can somehow, in our Christian walk, be autonomous, be alone, be a mountain unto ourselves. He says, whoa. Before you go anywhere, you need to hear number two, because number two is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Right, now Jesus has got real. Jesus just stopped me in my tracks. Because it is so easy to love God. It is so easy to love God who hasn't left laundry at the foot of the bed after I specifically told him to pick it up. It is so easy to love a God who has never looked at me in the morning and said, oh, is that what you're going to wear? It's so easy to love a God who, when I show up to church and someone says, huh, oh, okay, so that's how you do it with your kids. Okay. It's so easy to love a God that has not injured us in any of those ways. Right? God's never let me down. I experience pain. You've experienced pain. That's life. But God has never let me down. God has never said that thing that just said, oh, I'm so disappointed in him. God has never hurt my feelings. God has never made a mistake. But Jesus says, look, you love God with everything you have, and here's just like it, you love your neighbor as yourself. Church, we need each other. Our love for God, though he be invisible and though it be a spiritual thing, Sometimes our love for God is easier, isn't it? Sometimes it's our love for each other that's painful. Because each other, well, that's where we've been hurt. That's where we've been slighted. That's where we've been insulted. That's where we've been injured. And we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. Church, you ever had to look in the mirror and forgive yourself? You probably haven't waited in the mirror, have you? We make mistakes and we forgive ourselves like that. It's the only way we can look at ourselves in the mirror. It's the only way that we can put our heads down on the pillow at night and feel okay with ourselves. We forgive ourselves over and over and over because we mess up. We mess up and we're like, oh, okay, yeah, I didn't mean that. My bad, sorry. Oh, whatever. Whatever your term is, we get over it like that. And we move on. He says, that's how you love others. That's how you love your neighbor. Your neighbor injures you? Hey, it's all right. We move on. Your neighbor insults you. That's all right. We move on. Your neighbor does something unpleasant to you. It's all right. You treat him as good as you would yourself. Because we don't have a problem loving ourselves. And that's how we love our neighbors. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. As we go to Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10 some today. There's a good correlation here. But church, I want us to hear, in the words of Jesus, loving your neighbor as yourself. That second command in there, that keeps us bound to one another. That keeps us needing one another. That keeps us loving one another. And that reminds us that not only do we love God for his salvation and his son Jesus Christ, but we also love the imperfect examples of God that we get to live with, that we get to worship with, that we get to commune with. So we love God, but we also love his less than perfect children. That's what he tells us to do. In Hebrews chapter 10, let's go down to verse 23. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So Hebrews here says, okay, we're going to stay connected to God. We do not forget what God has done for us. And then in verse 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So this is Hebrews' way of saying those two commandments that Jesus said, here's what it looks like. You continue to hold fast your confession. You continue to hold fast your faith in God. And then you also continue to encourage each other. You never get to the point where you just say, I don't need the church. You do need the church. You need the church, and the church needs you. It's not an option. Okay? It's not a buffet. You just pick and choose. Right? It's the whole thing. It all goes together. And so 23 and 24 are just bound together. Let us continue to serve God, and let us continue to love others. That's who we are. That's what we're called to be. All right, back to Psalm 133. The second verse. We get these two analogies, and they're powerful analogies. As we think about this psalm says, hey, look, each other's awesome. You want to know how awesome each other is? Well, here's the first way. The first analogy is each other, our relationship with each other is like the oil on Aaron's beard. And this takes us back to Exodus when they began the priesthood. And God says, you need to anoint the priests with oil. And they would put oil on their head. And that oil would just drip down. I mean, it would just flow down their scalp. It would come down the sides. It would flow into the beard. It would drip up. It was messy. Okay? It was messy. But it was just such a warm, inviting image. And if you've never been anointed with oil, it's an amazing thing. If you've never had a beard, that's an amazing thing. But just to have that priestly oil just dripping off your face and off your earlobes and off the hair of your chin and just getting all over your robes and all over your clothes. He says, look, our love for each other is like that. It's that anointing. And it is that warmth and comfort that Aaron would receive and Aaron's sons would receive, that all those in the priesthood would receive as they are being anointed by God in their service. Now, church, again, we don't have a blood sacrifice because we have the blood of Jesus Christ. So, you know, Christianity is a little cleaner than Judaism. Also, the anointing that we have, it's a little cleaner Still real, but it's not quite as messy as that oil. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 2. Because in 1 John chapter 2, we are told of this anointing, what it looks like, and what purpose it serves. 1 John 2, starting in verse 20. 1 John 2, 20 says, but, and here's how this connects us in, back with the psalm. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because he who denies it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. So let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Look, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. All right, so John does a wonderful thing of saying, all right, church, here's your anointing. Aaron had his anointing. There was a literal oil that was poured over his head that spilled over his beard and onto his shoulders. Here's your anointing. It's the Holy Spirit. And you all have it. You all have it. In fact, it says it's the Holy Spirit. That's where you get your knowledge and your understanding. That's where it comes from. It doesn't come from sitting in Bible class. Your knowledge, how you understand the things of God, come from the Spirit. The Spirit's the source. I'm not the source. Your Bible class teacher is not the source. Somebody else is not the source. God is the source of our knowledge and understanding, and he provides that through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you say, well, wait a minute. Why do we have to come together? Why do we have to listen to any of this? This is all reminding. Church, I'm reminding you of truth. I'm not making truth up. I'm not making anything new up. I'm just reminding you, this is what God says. This is what his truth sounds like. This is what it looks like. And so that anointing for us, that anointing for us gives us that warmth of comfort to know that we are invited to make our homes with him. We are invited to abide with him, to live with him, to walk with him, to eat with him, to just live our daily lives through the Spirit close to our Creator. Well, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Now, again, this is a promise of God. This is our reality. This is not an option for the super spiritual. This is not, well, that's great for you, Michael. I mean, you may be close to the Holy Spirit, but I'll never get there. Wrong. No. This is Christianity. This is not an option. Just as fellowship is not an option. Being a part of God's church is not an option. It's part of the whole thing. It's part of, you don't get to make Jews. It's part of it. The Holy Spirit is not an option. That is his anointing on new covenant believers. That's what we have. We have Spirit. It's the most important thing that we have. Then, the second analogy. He says the second analogy, this love that brother and sister have for each other, this beauty of the union that believers have with one another, it's like the dew from Mount Hermon in Zion. Well, Hermon, it's the tallest mountain, okay? It's the biggest mountain here. And if you've ever been on a big mountain, you camped out, maybe under the stars, maybe in a tent, when you get to certain elevations and altitudes, when you wake up, everything is wet. Everything is wet. And so that's what the psalmist is saying, that our love and our unity for each other, well, it's like that wonderful, beautiful thing that Aaron got the oil that he was anointed with. And then secondly, it's like that fresh dew, that moisture that God puts on all creation in the morning. It's morning, you wake up, The ground's wet. What, did it rain last night? No, God just brought it. God brought it, he gave you that. And it's like he's washing his creation anew each and every day. That's the promise. When you and I are together, when you and I are enjoying fellowship, when we are loving one another, extending grace to one another, when we are living in unity with one another as we are supposed to. You know how beautiful it is? It's like when you get up in the morning and everything's covered with that dew, it's just like a rewashing. It's like a cleansing. How many times, well, we've talked about forgiving ourselves. Think about how many times you've had to forgive those closest to you. Think about how many times you've had to forgive your spouse. Think about how many times you've had to forgive your kids. Think about how many times you've had to forgive your brother or sister in Christ. Many. And each time that we forgive someone else, it's just like it gets washed. How many times has God had to forgive us? Many, many times. And whenever he does, it's like a new washing. We are cleansed once again. You know, so many times we listen to the devil. Because the devil says, oh, when you messed up, you should go and hide. You messed up, you should go away from the presence of God. You're not worthy. Well, church, we were not worthy before. We were not worthy. We were not worthy before we became Christians. We were not worthy. We were dead. We were not worthy after we became Christians. We're not worthy after we've sinned and messed up and, you know, missed the mark. We're really not worthy when we're doing pretty good and not making any big mistakes. No, we're just not worthy. It's a gift. It's out of God's love that he pours out to us his anointing. He gives it to us. So it's not about worthy. It's about thankfulness and receiving the gift of God that we are able to draw near to him. And so we have, and I love this, just like the dew that shows up every morning to wash everything clean, church, you realize that when we come together, we should have a new expectation of one another and what the Holy Spirit is doing to make us new and refreshed and clean once again. So church, again, I mentioned this Wednesday, I'm going to say it again. When we come back Sunday, I expect you to be different. You should expect me to be different. When we come back a week from Sunday, we're blessed with another week. I expect you to be different. God expects you to be different because he washes us clean and he fills us with the Holy Spirit each and every day. It's renewing. It's rejuvenating. We are in constant change. We're in constant change because we cannot remain who we once were. We are growing more and more and more into the perfect image of Jesus Christ. Our life in humble service to him is becoming less and less of me and my natural inclinations and more of the love and the mercy and the forgiveness and the peace and the patience and the kindness of Jesus Christ. It's not my definition of love, mercy, forgiveness, and kindness. It is the definition of Jesus. And that's what we strive for. And that's what we're working towards. And that's what we're living for. And so we see the Holy Spirit working in our brothers and sisters' lives to make us new each and every day. All right, I told you, so let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go back a couple verses in verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19 says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Our hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So we have been baptized. And internally, spiritually, he is constantly washing us clean. It's kind of like what we read. If you were with us Wednesday, you'll remember it. Wednesday night, we read from Lamentations 3. The steadfast love of the Lord. It never ends. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every single morning. And that's this idea from Psalm 133, that the mercies of God seen in our fellowship with one another are renewing each and every day. And so here in Hebrews chapter 10, we jump back and we said, hey, look, what God has done for us, this new and living way through the curtain that is through the blood of Jesus Christ, this allows us to live without guilt. We're not perfect. We don't cease to make mistakes. But the guilt, the shame has been paid for. And so that's removed from us. So we are now allowed to live close to God. And so my body's been washed with pure water. I've been baptized in Jesus Christ. I lived in the flesh. I died in Christ, and I was born again in Him. So my body was washed. Now, on a regular basis, He is still causing that dew from the high mountain to come down and wash over me, and He cleanses my heart each and every day. He cleanses me every day because I mess up. And He says, well, let me have that guilt. I'm going to wash it too. I'm going to cleanse it. I'm going to make you whole. Church, that's the power of God, the Holy Spirit. That's the spiritual blessing that we have. That each and every day, He is just pouring out all of His blessings for us through His Spirit. You know, some of you are probably sitting there and probably wondering, you know, Michael, everything that has been happening around us this past week, I'm kind of surprised that you didn't take a time out on Psalms and kind of address what's going on around us. And my head's not buried in the sand. I'm also not ignorant of what's going on. But I'm going to let you in on something. I'm going to give you some perspective. Okay? And it's so tied here to Hebrews chapter 10 that it's amazing. Church, I want you to realize that the headlines in the newspaper and on your news feed and on websites, the headlines are old news. What's going on in the world around us is old news. Plagues, there's nothing new there. There's nothing new there. It happened before. Happened again. Violence, nothing new there. Canaan, I mean, we're talking beginning stuff here. Plagues, that's early. Violence, that's early. Injustice, that's early. So all the things that we see about headlines around us. Oh, again, back to justice. Building a tower up to God. Been done. Been attended. So all the things that are going on in the world around us, that's all old news. You may think, well, no, but the riots, I mean, that's is it going to happen again tonight? Is it going to happen tomorrow? How long does it last? When will we see justice? When is it all going to be fixed? We know when it's all going to be fixed. When Jesus Christ returns and all of His enemies are made a footstool for Him. That's when it's going to be fixed. But church, everything that's going on in the world around us, it's old news. You want to know new news? You want something fresh? Alive in the Spirit. Because Jesus opened for us a new and living way. He opened for us a new and living way. That is Hebrews 10:20. By the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is through His flesh. Church, we need each other so much, and what we share together is the new and living way. It is the newest, freshest news that you could possibly hear and that you could share with anyone else. The headlines, what's going on around us in the world today, that's old. It's old and it's going to be repeated until Jesus returns. Bad is going to continue to happen. Bad has happened before. Bad is happening today. And bad will happen tomorrow. The bad will stop when Jesus comes back, and every tongue will confess and every knee shall bow before His throne. So what about the meantime? What do we do in the meantime? Church, we live these new and living lives in the Holy Spirit of God. That's what we do. Because that's the newest news. That's the current events. That's the most recent thing. Because God is beyond time. He's outside of time. He's better than time. Because time, what time does, time makes you old. And as long as God has been around, God is not as old as any of us. Because we get old, we get set in our ways. But His love and His mercies are new every morning. They're refreshed. They're refreshed for us. So live in the new and living way of Jesus. All right, let's go ahead and get our communion stuff ready. And surprise, surprise, we're going to stay in Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. Well, if you need something to read this morning, I guess you should spend some time in Hebrews 10 and catch the rest of it. But at the end of this chapter, so go back a page, Hebrews chapter 10 starts with the sacrifice of Jesus. And so we're going to read a little bit about the sacrifice of Jesus, and then we're going to take within ourselves His body and His blood and be connected to Him and to each other. Again, it's going to be so exciting next week to be able to take this with each other. Hebrews 10:5. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, He said, sacrifices and offerings You didn't desire, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. When he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law. Then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, that is that second will, we have been sanctified to the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he is perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. The Holy Spirit bears witness to us. For after saying, this is the covenant I will make with them. After those days, declares the Lord, I'll put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. And he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there's no longer any offering for sin. Church, Jesus is our sacrifice. He is our final sacrifice. He is our ultimate sacrifice because of what he did, what he went through, what he suffered at Calvary, of giving his own body and shedding his own blood. He's the only sacrifice we need. That's why our faith is in him and him alone. So let's go to our Father in prayer and be thankful for that amazing sacrifice. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the body of Jesus. Lord, we know that, well, we know the mess, the sacrificial system and all the animals that were given. And we also know the perfect body of obedience that your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, came to earth and willingly gave his body, died for our sins. Blessed be your name. This is our hope. This is our faith. This is our confession that Jesus Christ, your only Son, died for all of our sins. We thank you for his willingness to be faithful. We thank you for the gift that we have in him. We pray for the bread, and we ask, Father, that his body will fill our body so that our souls will follow his. We pray in Jesus' name. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for the blood of Jesus Christ. We are grateful for being washed clean. We are grateful for your Holy Spirit that renews us each and every day. Father, we are grateful that you remember our sins no more. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. It is his obedience that we cling to. It is his sacrifice that though we will never live up to, that we put our full hope on for our salvation. Blessed be your name. We pray through Jesus. Amen. Church, we're glad that you found us. And we look forward to seeing you next week. And honestly, I'm ready for some other people to be helping with some of this stuff and not having to do everything. So I'm really excited about that. Look for the file. We've got some songs that Jerry has got put together for us. So look for those and have an awesome week and just be praying and preparing yourself for getting back together. We love you. Can't wait to see you. Have a great week.